WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
There are so few things that are in our control during this coronavirus pandemic, but one thing that we can do, seemingly simple, to help our physical and mental health is to take a walk. I recently spoke with Antonia Malchik, an author who has written essays and articles for multiple publications, including The Atlantic, Orion, and High Country News, and she's just come out with her first book, A Walking Life, about the past and future of walking's role in our shared humanity. Antonia, thank you very much for talking with me today. I absolutely loved your book, and in this age of a pandemic, there are so few things that are within our control, but getting outside and taking a walk, no matter how brief that walk may be, is sometimes in our control. And I wanted to start off by reading a part of a paragraph at the beginning of your book, A Walking Life. Walking is essential to our physical health and creativity, to children's brain development, to mental well-being throughout our lives, and to our understanding of our place in the world. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how you got interested in walking and what are the health benefits that we can glean during this crazy time?
Well, thanks for having me on in the first place. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk with you. The thing about walking is that we do tend to take it for granted. It's just something that most of us do every day, even if we're just walking across the room and into a car to drive to work. But the more that I researched it when I first began, the more I realized how involved it is, not just in our physical health, but also in our mental well-being and in our cognitive faculties. When we're first learning to walk as toddlers, well, first as babies and then we become toddlers, we fall down on average about 17 times an hour once we start becoming adept at it. But while we're doing that, we're also building the hippocampus in the brain, and that feeds into our later reading abilities. When we grow older, some of the illnesses like dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's first show up in our gait in the way that our walking changes. And that's an indication that something isn't quite going right with our brains. And all of this really demonstrates how important that particular very complex motion is for the way that we evolved and how our minds work, how our communities work, how our bodies function. So I got interested in it partly just from watching my kids learn to walk because they were very late walkers, and just starting to learn about the complexity of it and realizing that if it's that complex, then it must be really, really important to humans' development and to humans' health. So that's where I started with it.
And it's something that from the perspective of, you know, maybe you can't get to a gym now, you are restricted in so many places that you can go. But for most of us, even in this period of the lockdown, there's nothing that is preventing us from just getting outside and walking, which beyond the benefits of just physical exercise, and I think you and I have both heard of walking described as the perfect exercise for which you really don't need to spend any money other than a pair of shoes or sandals. But it can be a sort of a perfect meditative medicine for our mental health as well.
That is absolutely true. So first of all, you know, hopefully most people can get out and walk. I do have some friends in Europe who don't really have anywhere that they're allowed to go, or they're only allowed outside once a day. And that can be a bit worrisome because this is the one activity that most of us can get out and do right now, and even do it, you know, slightly distanced from a friend or with a relative if we're feeling really lonely. And one of the things is that we really need to move our bodies. So about 60% of our skeletal muscles are devoted to opposing gravity. So that means that we need to stand up and walk around. Like, you don't have to go to the gym and do a bunch of push-ups and go running, but you do have to move your body around. And so if we're just kind of sitting around our homes or our apartments, we are actually losing bone density. Our muscles are getting a lot weaker, and it affects our cardiovascular system. So it's really, really, really important for your physical health. But for the mental health, it's a part that most people don't really think about, although I do hear from a lot of people who swear by walking as a cure or a treatment for depression and anxiety. And I do personally find that it's very effective at treating those things. And there's been a lot of research on this. So there was a big study in Australia on depression and women in their 40s. And what it found is that if they walk about 150 minutes a week, it is just about as effective as an antidepressant. This study didn't say the level of severity of the depression, so it probably depends on the individual. But it does actually have a big impact on our mental health. And one thing that I find personally is I tend to be a bit of a news addict, and I'm always trying to pull myself out of it and not look at the headlines first thing in the morning. But sometimes I do, you know, and then I've got two young kids and I'll find that I'm really irritable with them, which is really not good right now because I'm also trying to help them learn and we're stuck together. And what I think of it as is that I end up carrying that stress on me. And I'm irritable with my kids because I haven't processed that stress yet. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote that book, Trauma, The Body Keeps the Score, which is about trauma in the body. And he worked with a lot of Vietnam veterans on PTSD. And so you think a lot about even a small stress at the beginning of your day. If you're sitting in your house or even standing a bit in your house and you're feeling a little trapped and confined, and you're stuck with people you love, but you can't get away from, you know, I find that just stepping out the door and going for a short walk can help me either process the stress that I was carrying or else release it and get some perspective back. And I think it's about that motion. It's about moving the body and it's about being in the world combined together. So not just moving around the house, but having all the stimulation that comes from being outside is really important for the brain as well.
Many people, as you have, talk about walking as not only exercise, but as a meditation, as their anti-anxiety regimen, as their antidepressant regimen. And you mentioned something just a moment ago about being in the world. And I bookmarked page 11 of your book where you say, "We walk and dams in our mind begin to crumble. Our thoughts find new paths to explore. Our prejudices and assumptions about ourselves, about other people, about the world around us begin to erode, to shift, to blur."
Yeah. And I think if you do live in a walkable community, you find yourself encountering stories all the time if you choose to get around by walking or biking, and you build relationships with people you didn't expect. And of course, now that's much more difficult. You can't go into a coffee shop and bump into people. I mean, heaven forbid, don't bump into people. And you can't really stop and chat with strangers. And it's a very different experience now. And I think one of the things that I'm finding, and I live in my hometown. I didn't grow up here all the way, but I went to high school here. So I have a lot of connections in the town I live in. But even with that, you know, I'll go for a socially or physically distanced walk with a friend, you know, once or twice a week, which isn't quite the same thing, but we're still processing a lot of, you know, frustrations and anxieties and just being able to see one another. But I am using this time to really make my walking work for me, you know, thinking about a lot of stuff in my life that maybe wasn't working for me before. I'm sure I've seen a lot of articles about this, you know, thinking about what is it about our society in general that wasn't working for people before that maybe we don't want to have come back. Is there some habit you have that you've really been trying to shift? And maybe you're frustrated with yourself because you have this time, you're stuck at home, you can't go to work, and the habit still isn't shifting. And that's very common. And I think this is a time that when you can use not to try to force yourself to change particular habits or to learn to bake sourdough bread unless you really want to. But you can take that time to walk with yourself and really get to know yourself, kind of like a mini pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is something I talk to people a lot about, and it's a very serious undertaking. And I think even honoring your relationship with yourself once a day in that way by just getting out and walking and saying, you know, maybe you're on a pilgrimage to learn to know yourself better, can be really beneficial. And you might come out the other side of this feeling differently about yourself, maybe feeling better about yourself, maybe feeling more comfortable in who you are and the choices you're making. Or maybe you'll come out thinking, gosh, I really have some problems and I maybe need help, or I need to change things significantly.
Getting out as a way of combating isolation, combating loneliness. I remember years ago talking with a journalist who said the mark of a good journalist is you can't go to the corner for a cup of coffee and not come back with five story ideas. And you mentioned in your book on page 209, you reference one of my all-time favorite authors, Robert McFarlane, and you said, a walk is only a step away from a story, and every path tells. And gosh, I got goosebumps reading that out loud. But it's true. You actually are physically, literally, but also figuratively putting yourself out in the world. Are there any closing thoughts you might have that we haven't touched on that you would want our listeners to hear?
Gosh, I think we've covered almost all of it. It's very important to me when I started writing this book, as I'm sure you have on your shelves and I do, many, many, many books about walking that are really beautiful. And I didn't want to end up writing about the same things. And I do feel like a lot of it is about, you know, there's Thoreau, who was such a big believer in walking, and Wordsworth, who walked 20,000 miles a year. And so one of the things I really went into it with and came out with is, how do we make walking accessible for everybody? And that means communities without sidewalks, people in wheelchairs who really have to fight for accessible design. And so it's something, you know, if you are getting a daily walk, just to kind of turn your mind to how you could make this activity accessible for more people. That's something that's very important to me. It's something I work on in my own community, and I've been inspired by a lot of organizations, like Girl Trek is an incredible one that gets, you've probably heard of them. And, you know, they get African-American women out walking. And as part of that, they help repair communities. They work on advocacy. And so it does become part of, again, your whole activity as a citizen, as a thriving, aware human being on this planet, and thinking about your role in how you make your society a better place.
My thanks today to Antonia Malchik, an author in Whitefish, Montana, for talking with me about her book, A Walking Life, and about the past and future of walking's role in our shared humanity and our health. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.